Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's the big 8 o'clock hour, and well, it's going to be pretty big for us because coming up in 30 minutes, we've got Andrew McCarthy, former U.S. attorney, to talk about whether there's any legitimacy to these charges that are suspected against Donald Trump. Andrew McCarthy, out of New York, by the way, former U.S. attorney there in the Southern District of Manhattan, the office that dropped the investigation into the Stormy Daniels affair. So, you know, they dropped it. And the DA picks it up, and now it's such a scam. We'll talk to Andy McCarthy coming up in a moment. When I say we, I mean me, Larry O'Connor, and she, Julie Gunlock.
Good morning.
And Julie, look, it's our friend Ian Pryor, and he's got a brand new book. It's called Parents of the World Unite, How to Save Our Schools from the Left's Radical Agenda. Ian Pryor, congratulations. What a great title for a book.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
So Parents of the World Unite, not Parents of Loudoun County, not Parents of Virginia, not Parents of America, Parents of the World. You see this as a worldwide challenge.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, absolutely. I think that, you know, the reason for this book, yeah, I mean, we all saw what happened in Loudoun County. And I would have people from really all over the place asking, you know, how did you all do what you did in Loudoun County? How did you make that kind of impact? And certainly I can't, you know, answer a million calls a day and go through it. So I said, well, you know, I'll just write a book about it. And, you know, the book is 12 chapters, and each chapter sort of has this strategic rule that matches up with what we were doing. Because in reality, there was a lot of strategy in what we did. I mean, we had a mission. We had a goal. We had to adapt. We had to use different ideas to really make change and bring attention to what was going on in Loudoun County Public Schools and Northern Virginia overall. And I thought this was a good way to really share that information, that story, but also, you know, how we did it and how this could be applicable to other places where parents are fighting similar battles.
Well, Ian, I love this book, and I think it is great how you've laid it out. It really is a guidebook, and I think that parents really need that. We know that a lot of parents sort of consider themselves accidental activists after the schools were closed and kids were masked and on. But now the schools are open, right? Now the masks are off, and parents might be thinking, oh, let's just go back to normal. But I want to talk to you about rule number 10. You say, don't let them off the rope. And I'd like to get your opinion on that, particularly at a time where people are talking about amnesty and, oh, let's just move on. Why is rule number 10 so important?
Well, this is not a fight that you're going to win in 3 months or really even 3 years. I mean, if you think about what the left has done to our education system, it's been decades in the making.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're talking about a 3-year period where COVID happens. You know, parents are pushing back to reopen schools, but then they start realizing what's going on in the classroom. If you're just going to push back for, you know, those 3 years, it's going to go right back to where it was. I mean, just look at Loudoun County. I mean, you've got a superintendent that's been indicted. You've got a school spokesperson that's been indicted. You've got a scathing special grand jury report, and they're still doubling down. I mean, there's been some changes, but if you don't keep the pressure up, then it's just going to go back to normal. You're going to have school board elections. You're going to get some more woke school board members, and they're just going to keep on moving with their program. So, you know, it's important that parents out there not just continue the fight, but bring new parents to the fight. You know, people can't do this forever. They're gonna age out of the school system when their kids graduate. So it's important when you have new parents bringing their kids to school that they understand everything that's going on and that you don't take your foot off the gas, that you keep pressuring, because it's really going to take a decade or more to get to the point where we can say, you know, parents have retaken control of the public schools that they've paid for and they send their children to.
Ian Pryor's book is Parents of the World Unite, How to Save Our Schools from the Less Radical Agenda, and it's available starting today. And, you know, the first day, launch day of a book is incredibly important to let publishers know that this is the kind of content we want. So if you're so inclined, today's the day to buy this book. Ian, I'd love that you've laid this out. Each chapter is a rule, sort of Saul Alinsky-like. Was that an accident?
No, it wasn't. And I talk about Saul Alinsky in the book. I mean, anyone that's read Rules for Radicals, you know, those are smart rules. And just because they may be geared towards the left doesn't mean that you can't adopt them for your own purposes or adopt your own rules for those purposes.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, since this book, I've thought about a couple of different rules that I might put out in sort of an op-ed. You know, one of those I was thinking of recently is be like Mike, right? I mean, Michael Jordan, you know, there's somebody arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, but man, he took a beating. He took a beating against the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks in the 80s and 90s. But what did he do, right? He didn't go get in fights with Anthony Mason. No, he's dunking, sticking his tongue out, and dropping 63 on people on his way to sixth championship. So, you know, parents out there, go ahead.
No. Yeah, finish your thought. Sorry.
Yeah, parents out there. I mean, it's tough. You know, you go out, you go to school board meetings, you go on TV, you do all these things, and they take a beating from some of these radical leftists in their community. And the temptation is to engage and push back. But no, you just got to keep your eye on the prize, right? And that is the goal. And that is making change and bringing accountability to your school system.
Well, to that end, we've got some just beautiful audio from the state of Georgia yesterday. This is State Representative Lydia Glaze. They're debating a school choice program, which would empower parents to be able to make choices, of course, for their own children's education. Listen to what she said. This is what we're up against.
I see parents being able to direct their child's education, and they are already in the lower 25 percentile, meaning a lot of those parents did not finish high school and could not finish their own education. I am extremely concerned that we would put money in their hands in that entire piece of life in the hands of parents who are not qualified to make those decisions.
Ian, this is what we're up against. This is their mentality, and they say it out loud there. By the way, it should be pointed out, Representative Glaze actually sent all of her children to private school.
Yeah, I mean, that's appalling hearing that. First of all, you know, you look at the parents that really want to better their children's lives, right? They want their children to have better lives than they did. And she's, you know, she's really giving the middle finger to all of them. And then she's also assuming that, you know what, she's smarter than every parent out there that wants some kind of choice for her children. Yeah. You know, I'd love to challenge her to a debate. You know, I think my education stacks up with some of the best of them. So, you know, I think she's not only insulting people that, you know, may not have had that kind of education, but certainly want that education for their children. And she's also insulting people that are probably much smarter than her as well.
You know, Ian, just one quick question. You know, I feel like there is fatigue out there. People are tired. You hear it all the time. You know, I want to go back to normal. This kind of is a addition to my earlier question, though. How do you incentivize people? You talk a little bit about this in your book. But what is some, you know, just general advice you would give to parents about why it is so important they continue to go to school board meetings, they continue to get active, they continue to let their voice be heard? I think we all need a little bit of a kick in the pants at this point.
Well, I mean, one of the interesting things over the past couple of months is I've started to hear from new parents, from younger parents, that really weren't in this fight in 2020, 2021, even 2022, but they're really starting to see that the repercussions of a lot of these policies, you know, I mean, here in Northern Virginia, where, you know, biological boys can use girls' rooms, the story I've been hearing is that, you know, a biological boy is or a girl uses a bathroom and a boy is using it as well. They complain to the school and the school says, well, the girl just has to either use a single use bathroom or go see the unified mental health team. So you're telling me that the biological boy gets an accommodation to feel, you know, safe and comfortable in the bathroom of the sex that they identify with. Yeah. But the biological girl does not get the accommodation to use the biological or feel safe and comfortable in the bathroom of her sex. Right. I mean, that's sex discrimination. So you're seeing a lot of parents that are now.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Saying, wait a minute, I wasn't paying attention, but now I really need to. And I think the key is to start talking to those people, really start winning hearts and minds of the folks that may not have been in the fight, but they're starting to suffer from the policies that have been forced down our throats over the past 2 years.
Well, you've come a long way from dailymalarkey.com, Ian Pryor. The book is called Parents of the World Unite, and it's about, well, it's about the little revolution that started right here in our neighborhoods and became international news. One chapter here, Turn Your Fight into Must-See TV. Any mention there about how talk radio turned the fight into must-see?
Yeah, you're right at the front of that, Larry. I mentioned that you were one of the first shows that I did after the Chardonnay Antifa out here in Loudoun County created the list of, you know, insufficiently woke parents.
I
talked about it.
I remember that day vividly. And when you dropped Chardonnay Antifa on me, I think I laughed for nearly a minute on the air. Ian, well done, sir. Can't wait. I have not read the book yet, but I certainly will. And I'll have you back on after we get our thoughts in order. Thanks, Ian.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Today's the day. Buy that book. It's available now. Parents of the World Unite. How to Save Our Schools from the Less Radical Agenda. And part of the way you save our schools and save our country is to support people like Ian Pryor and these books. Buy a few and share them. Give them to your brother-in-law. He needs it. 8:15 WMAL. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes. First on the Fives with Lisa Baden and the Hadid Carpet.
Stream us live online wherever you are, whenever you want. Download the new WMAL app today.
A funny thing happened when D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and Anthony Fauci paraded around the Anacostia District in Washington to try to convince largely African-American residents in Southeast D.C. to get the COVID-19 vaccine. This was in June of 2021. This is video that's being released this week by PBS as they did some sort of documentary about the whole pandemic. And, well, let's listen as we hear Anthony Fauci convincing some women. First, it starts with a woman talking about her little child, a toddler, and the vaccine. And then the woman's mother, the grandma of the toddler, chimes in. Listen.
What are you guys doing with vaccine? Oh,
I'm not having it yet. I'm waiting for them to be able to.
Oh, you should get it first. Okay, that way you won't give it to them.
Oh, I thought I would give it to them if I get it.
No, not at all. In fact, we got to get you vaccinated so that if you were to get infected, you could pass it on to them. So you're actually protecting your family by getting him vaccinated.
Not true.
No, and it's so manipulative.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
her child is very low risk,
right,
for this disease. And he's saying, but you want to protect your baby,
you
right?
You want to protect
he's
your baby.
He's appealing to the most important thing that a mother feels is in protecting their child.
Well, and then grandma chimes in and says,
well, I heard that it doesn't cure it and it doesn't stop you from getting it.
Correct.
Now, that's actually correct, what you heard. Now, this is very early
on. Get that woman in office at NIH.
You know, it wasn't, you know, Dr. Birx. Maybe she was having tea with Dr. Birx and her scarves. Because Birx has now revealed that as early as November, when it wasn't even released and legal yet, they knew
exactly what this woman was
saying. Wasn't going to prevent people from catching it, and it wasn't going to stop the spread. But they needed to get something out there because they needed some sort of narrative.
So how did Fauci respond to this, Larry?
Let's see.
No, so on the very, very, very rare chance that you do get it, even if you're vaccinated, it's a very, you don't even feel sick. It's like you don't even know you got infected. It's very, very good at protecting you.
Just the Anacostia, so get up there. Okay.
All right, see you later.
Very, very, I guess we're part of that very, very rare.
Yeah.
Vaccinated and yet got the disease.
How many people? Yeah, the president.
Every
and
single
Anthony
person
Fauci
I
himself.
Know got the vax, got the disease.
Pretty much almost everyone
very,
I know who got
rare.
It. Yeah. And again, by the way, let's not forget, at this time, this is June of 2021, one of the big narratives about COVID-19 was that it was affecting the African-American community worse. More people were getting and why? Well, because Sunny Hostin goes on The View and brags that she doesn't like to do her grocery shopping anymore. Because
she has the little people do it.
Yes, she has the little people do it. Exactly. Or the truck drivers or the delivery men or, you know, the service workers
grocery
or what have
stalkers,
you.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, that's a predominantly Black or Latino or whatever profession or what have you. But as the numbers go down, it was less about race as it was about economic class.
That's right.
And for people who are in service industries and delivery men and things like that, if that's their economic class, they were susceptible to catching the virus, especially in that first year, which is what we're talking about here, which is bad. But there was an upside to that, which means they had natural immunity. and they knew that they had natural immunity, and they were confused. It's like, I got this already. Why do I need to get the vaccine? And they're literally going door to door lying to them to tell them that they need to get the vaccine.
That your natural immunity does not matter. You need to get the vaccine.
Which is the opposite of what we know
That's
to
right.
be true now.
That's right.
All right, a little bit more here, because there's an exchange, particularly this one gentleman who just basically, he's my hero. And I want you to hear what he had to say coming up in just a moment. I also want to tell you, all right, I know you may have heard this with Chris Plant yesterday, but I want you to get as much of it as you can. This is this man on his doorstep, not taking anything that at Fauci is selling.
You all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to...
But
create
vaccinations.
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science to get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months.
20 years it took for this shot. That's crazy. Yeah. I thought they didn't even know about the coronavirus until...
He's not telling the truth.
No, he's not. He's talking about the mRNA technology.
Yes.
That's completely disingenuous and misleading.
And allow thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious
than the flu. Though.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people.
Fauci goes on to say, well, this has killed 600,000. He's like, yeah, those are your numbers.
Yeah. Get in a car accident, die of a car accident, you're counted in with the COVID numbers.
And this guy down in Anacostia, our hero, maybe even a listener. Ended it with this.
Y'all campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
By the way, my favorite part of this video is they then end this with a shot of fat. He walks away, goes into his car, and he takes out antiseptic spray and wipes off
his hands.
I want to
buy that guy a drink.
It's 8:30.
WMALFM Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL. News now.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
8:37 here in the nation's capital. It's O'Connor and Company with Larry O'Connor alongside Julie Gunlock. And you know who's coming in 30 minutes, Julie? It's Chris Plant.
Awesome.
Batten down the hatches, like to say. Fox News is now reporting that, according to their sources, there is not an imminent indictment, say that three times fast, of former President Donald Trump. But the president coming out over the weekend and saying that he expects to be arrested today based on leaked reports about Secret Service coordinating with the Manhattan DA's office about what might be involved in such a matter. Has certainly raised the question about what the Manhattan DA is doing at all with this whole Stormy Daniels case. So let's bring in Andrew McCarthy.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series or bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts.
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
He's a former prosecutor, former assistant United States attorney for the Southern District of New York, and now with National Review and Fox News. And that office, the Southern District of New York, Andy, if I remember right, they looked into all of this all during the Trump presidency, and they chose not to prosecute over anything, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, Larry and,
morning.
And Julie. That's my old haunt, of course. And they had this case first. And I will tell you, having been a prosecutor in that office for 20 years, they don't let attractive cases involving high-level targets that ambitious prosecutors would like to get their mitts on. They don't let those cases go to the state.
Yes, correct. So,
you know,
exactly.
They took a long look at this. I mean, look, if it weren't unseemly, I would show you the battle scars from the turf wars I was involved in these kinds of things. But it just doesn't happen. The Southern District of New York is famously covetous of big cases, and they looked at this one. They had it first. They had the Michael Cohen case. And they decided there was no case against Trump.
So
it's not like they didn't want to make one.
That sure raises a whole. Oh, I know. We remember what it was like with that U.S. attorney at the time. So that raises a lot of questions here with regard to, first of all, jurisdiction wise, what the heck is the Manhattan DA thinking? But secondly, just in terms of, again, the perception that the law, something that you cherish, U.S. law, Andy, the law is being used as a political weapon. And there's no two ways about it here.
No, there's not. But Larry, you know, this is what progressive Democrats do when they get in power. And, you know,
I know you're right, but you say that with kind of a sort of shrug in your voice, like, what are you going to do? It's like, no, that's wrong. What we should do, we should be able to do something about that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, well, Larry, I'm saying it with resignation, not like it's not a big deal. I've been hitting my head into this wall for a very long time. But I do think in all seriousness that we're very federal-centric in the media and the commentariat because the federal government seems to tower over everything. One of the things I think we miss is that in the federal system, prosecutorial power is wielded by people who have been appointed by the president and vetted by the Senate. And one of the things they vet for, now you can argue about how successful they are about this, but one of the things they vet for is, are you going to use your power in a politicized, abusive way? That's a big deal when you're picking prosecutors. The state system is very different. Alvin Bragg in New York, for example, is an elected progressive Democrat. Almost every prosecutorial office at the state level, including state attorneys general, who wield, you know, broader power even than prosecutors, these are elected offices. And I would agree with you, if I hadn't even said it myself first, that what Alvin Bragg is doing as a matter of law enforcement is atrocious. But we can't ignore that this is good progressive Democratic politics in New York.
You know, Andy, I just want to, you know, feel you out what happened to Federal Judge Duncan recently at Stanford University and how our law schools are educating future lawyers, future judges, you know, even future law enforcement officials like Alvin Bragg. Are we going to see more of this? I mean, is this just the way it is in the future? There is a sort of sense of, what can we do? This resignation. When I look at the law schools today, it looks like, you know, we're just in for more of this.
Yeah, Julie, I think this is what happens when you give the not only the institutions of higher learning, but the institutions of opinion. You give them over to a progressive ideological movement for, you know, a generation or three. And then, you know, we're all shocked that this that this happens. But I think what happened is in the 20th century, at a certain point, the understanding of how you instruct people who want to become lawyers changed. And it went from the idea that you need to master the treatises of law and the laws itself, meaning the statutes and regulations and what have you, because that's your job as a lawyer is to fortify the rule of law without which we can't have a flourishing society. And somewhere along the line, they decided instead that the law was a tool for social change. And that became the objective of the law schools as they came more and more into the clutches of progressives.
Well, and let's be clear, it used to be that you would see social change through holding elected office and actually crafting legislation and writing law. Now they want these jobs where they can just choose how to enforce the law and in many cases how not to enforce the law. And that's deteriorating, Andy, as you know, America's trust in our judicial system, something that is very fragile, this trust level. Back to this case, what's going to happen next? Do you think that President Trump, by making this an issue over the weekend and into today, that he has sort of preempted this? He's caused some extra scrutiny on what this DA is doing. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I don't think he intentionally did that. I think I do think he intentionally wanted to shine a light on Bragg. I think that he misread some of the coverage and thought that maybe they would return the indictment. This seems to be, Larry, I shouldn't keep interrupting myself, but this seems to be a Monday, Wednesday grand jury that's the days of the week they seem to meet and do everything. So I think it was reasonable for him to think that they might return the indictment on Monday, because they already seem to have done everything they needed to do to finish, that they might vote the indictment on Monday and try to get him to surrender. He's not going to be arrested. They keep talking about, you know, he'll be arrested. They're not going to put cuffs on Donald Trump on the street. The Secret Service and the NYPD work very well together. When this finally happens, if it happens, former President Trump will be, arrangements will be made for him to surrender on the charges, and they'll figure out a way to get him processed like they process every person who comes.
Yeah, but they will orchestrate a perp walk, and they'll get the mugshot, and they'll do all the things. And are you expecting this to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've done everything. I mean, it's pretty serious. Sometimes you look like you're being sold a bill of goods and it's just performance. But here, you know, in the state, they have to put the main witnesses in the grand jury. In the federal system, we can do it by hearsay. In the state, they actually have to call the witnesses. So, you know, you're seeing Stormy Daniels show up with the prosecutors and seeing Michael Cohen for 2 days in the grand jury. And in New York, the last thing they do is they invite the target in. They don't subpoena him, but they invite the target in to, if he wants to try to testify and persuade the grand jury not to file charges. They did that last week, and Trump, I think, wisely declined the invitation to come in. Mm-hmm. So they're doing all the things that you would do if you were serious about bringing a case.
Andy, we got to leave it there. Thank you, though. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
845 WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes. First on the fives, Lisa Baden's in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. That's a wrap there, Julie Gunlock. Thanks for a great morning.
I'll see you tomorrow.
We will see you tomorrow. We're seeing Chris Plant right now, though.
What?
Yeah, the Fauci thing just keeps rolling along, doesn't it?
Isn't it great?
I think they thought that would make him look heroic, and look what this man had to deal with.
That's the only possibility, because it's Panhandler Broadcasting System suckling on the taxpayer teat. I got a couple of stories on them today. You see, they're opening their new grand opening. They're getting all kinds of great press coverage for their new headquarters in Washington, D.C. $200 million. They got green stuff growing on the roof. It's wonderful. They just laid off 10% of their workforce because they can't, they got $30 million short in advertising. Who knew PBS had ad revenue?
Yeah. What,
$500 million in taxpayer funds, suckling on the taxpayer teeth. We got, President Trump spoke up last night. He's got a couple of things to say about all this. And apparently no arrest today. We're hearing.
Yeah. Not today. Well, Andy McCarthy just said there won't be an arrest either way. There will be a surrendering to authorities. And he said, yeah, it's going to happen.
Is that right?
Yep.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.